Father, we worship you tonight. Lord, we thank you that you are on the throne. Jesus, you are on the throne. You are on the throne because you have conquered once and for all. Your enemies are under your feet. And so we thank you that we are partakers of the victory that you have wrought. We thank you, Lord, that you shed your blood on Calvary. We thank you, Lord, that you paid the price in full and that we do not have to pay the price. We do not have to earn our salvation by works. We thank you, Lord, that the enemy is defeated. We thank you, Lord, that you have conquered our flesh. We thank you, Lord, that as we meditate on your word, as we hear it, as we think about it, as we place it on the inside of our hearts, we thank you that we are conformed to the image of Christ. And as we stand as the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth, we thank you that the enemy is under our feet. In Jesus' name, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that your word flows like a river tonight by the Holy Spirit. And I yield myself to you, Spirit of God, and I thank you that your word flows freely. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, last time we concluded the heart of man. Now, the reason why I put that at that place in the whole teaching on prayer is so that you don't start devil chasing all over the place. Because it's out of the heart of man that the issues of life flow. You see, it tells us in John, it says that, remember I shared that scripture with you where Jesus said, Satan has nothing in me. And that's the key. You see, we are the light of the world. He said he's the light of the world, and then he said we are the light of the world. So we need to be filled with light and not with darkness. When there's darkness in your heart, that is how the enemy gets a hold. If you're full of light, he cannot touch you. There's a secret place in the Lord. Even Psalm 91 speaks about that secret place. If you go and read Psalm 91, you'll see in the secret place of the Most High, you have complete protection. It's a place of immunity. How much more under the new covenant, if you are in Christ, are you in that place? Nothing can touch you. People talk about bloodline curses and all sorts of stuff. Those things have been dealt with in Christ. Because the Old Testament says, a curse causeless or a curse without a cause cannot alight. In other words, if there's no reason for the curse to come upon you, then it can't. Now, who took the curse of sin and everything on himself? Jesus did. Where are we? We're in him. So, the reason why people suffer because of so-called bloodline curses is because they don't know any better. Their minds have not been renewed. They have not been conformed to the image of Christ. They're still walking in the old ways. Kelivana says we've all fallen on our heads. And so we have memory loss. And in Christ, you have to get your memory back of who you were before the fall. Isn't it funny that when you meet somebody and you don't know that they're a Christian, that somehow you know I've seen this person before. Why? Because just like you, there are a word out of the heart of God that is spoken into the earth. Christ is the word. You are a word that is in Christ. So, where do you come from? From the heart of God. A word out of the heart of God. Right? So why do you recognize another Christian, even if you've never seen them before? Because you were together with them in the heart of God. That's how you recognize them. Think about it. But that's another teaching on its own. But we are in Christ. All these things should have no hold on us. Only reason why is because we think about them, and that which we think upon and meditate upon, that is what we become. What you behold is what you become. Just like the cows, the cattle that Jacob, when he was working, Laban was giving to him all of this, the spotted ones. He said, you know, because there obviously weren't many. So God gave him wisdom. So he took sticks and he cut spots into the bark. He put it there where they were eating and where they were drinking at the troughs. And every time they would eat there, that which they we're looking at, that is what they became. Why do you think you have to eat the Word of God? The Word of God is a mirror. Why does it say in James, look at the Word And don't forget what you look like. Continue in the Word. Because that is what you will become. And so, people have taken stuff out of context in the Bible. They've applied the Old Testament. They've tried to live in the Old Testament. That's why you get people that prophesy all sorts of heavy prophecies. Thus saith the Lord, thou shaltest perisheth if thou dost not repenteth. All that kind of stuff. This heavy stuff. There's no grace in those prophecies because they're trying to be an Old Testament prophet. So that which they meditate upon, that which they think upon is what they become. And so you think long enough about, well, you know, the third and the fourth generation. I mean, somebody told us, and we shared that already, somebody said 45 generations, somebody discerned in their life. 45 generations ago, there was a bloodline curse. No, I believe the Bible saying that. The Bible only says about the sins of the fathers will visit the children to the third and the fourth generation. But then when you bring the cross and the blood in, then what? Then it stops, isn't it? So makkelijk soos dit, as easy as that, for our American friends that listen to these series. Praise God. So I'm talking about, and I'm starting to speak about understanding the enemy. That's the devil. Now, I'm stressing right at the start. Don't come here next week and tell me how you cast the devil out of the doorknobs and everything, and how you car tires got flat and all that kind of thing. Don't come with that because I will talk nicely to you in the Lord. Don't come with that. All I am doing is I'm just sharing a little bit about how the kingdom of darkness works. But our focus is Christ. He has conquered. But the devil is still walking around on the earth. He's not allowed in heaven like a lot of people think. It's not allowed there. The only way he gets before the throne of God is through you and I when we sit and accuse one another before the throne. That's how he gets a hold of us and of one another. That's how he becomes the accuser of the brethren, because we accuse one another before the throne. He's not allowed there. So I'm talking to you about it because he's walking to and fro on the face of the earth and he's doing all sorts of stuff. But you and I have authority. And so when you encounter him, it should be easy to deal with the situation. And I want us to be able to discern a situation so that we can understand what's going on there. But the Word of God always supersedes that. Always. Christ has won the victory. It's not even a battle anymore between light and darkness. It's not. Because it was won 2,000 years ago. Otherwise, what did Jesus do there if it's God against the devil? I mean, please, is that a contest? Anybody that thinks he can exalt himself above God, there's got to be something wrong with his mind. That's why people who yield themselves to Satan, what happens to them? They go crazy. Somebody who thinks he can exalt himself above God, there's got to be something wrong with him. It's got to be. So it's not even a contest. He got kicked out of heaven, and that's it. Now he's trying to get back at God by trying to influence us. And as long as you see that, he cannot read your mind, he can't read your thoughts, he cannot predict, he can't do anything like that. He has deceived, especially Christians, because the world, they don't even believe in him. And look what they accomplish. It's like William Hinn says, you know, when he became born again, when he got to the church, then he found out there's a devil. He never had problems with him before. So we need to understand, he's not God's teacher for the church. He doesn't teach us. The Holy Spirit teaches us through the Word of God. Now God allowed the devil to do something in my life, and now I'm really humbled. And I'm serving the Lord even more. Please. Satan is not the teacher of the church. The Holy Spirit is through the Word of God. So I'm stressing this. I mean, we've all sat through the testimonies. Oh, the devil attacked me, so I had 4 flat tires last week. Glory to God. They put at the end of that. Oh, glory to God, we are so poor. We have been so humbled by the Lord. We're all smiling. Listen, you've sat through that rubbish and nonsense. And it's still happening in the church. So, let's get our focus on Jesus. Always. I'm sharing this in the middle of this entire series on prayer. Why? Because Satan is surrounded. So, in the front and in the back of what I'm teaching is the Word of God. Some Christians live as if they're surrounded by Satan. Man, he can only be at one place at one time. And he's been so bound by Christians by now. I mean, he's got to be under a mountain of chains. He's been bound, man. But the fact is, Christ paid the price. It's finished and clear. Amen. It's a done deal. The blood paid the price. The blood didn't pay half the price. It paid the price. Amen. So, at the outset. So, ek wil niks hoor van devils nie. All I want to hear is how you sorted something out. And this tried to happen. Somebody was bound. I came in there and wasn't 5 minutes and they got set free. That's it. Deal with him the way Jesus dealt with him. Just gave him the word. Just deal with him. Amen? All right. When I was trained as a pilot, but my basic training, just to learn to fly, took something like 3 years. I had to learn that aircraft thoroughly. The mechanics of it, everything, how the motor works, how the shock absorbers work, how the rivets on that thing are put together, where they are placed on the airplane. I mean, everything. How the fuel burns, everything. How the instruments work, how the instruments look on the inside, everything. I mean, after those 3 years, and still today, with the knowledge I have, I could build an airplane. That's how thorough that training is. But those 3 years just taught me how to fly the airplane. Then they post you out to a squadron that specializes in a certain kind of aerial warfare. So you might go to a fighter squadron where you do aerial combat, or you might go to a bomber squadron, etc., etc. And that training is another 6 months to a year, and then you still have to pick up experience of how to use the weaponry. And it gets drilled into you until it becomes not second nature, it's first nature. It just comes out of you. Okay. Now, what does it have to do with understanding the enemy? Everything. You've got to know Christ so well. And when you see something, when you hear something, you immediately know what spirit is behind it. So even though we're talking about how the enemy works and etc. and what the word says about it, know Christ better. Always. You see, when you work at a bank, they don't give you a heap of counterfeit notes. They don't give you a heap of 3 rand notes, do they? Or 7 rand notes, or a 57 rand bill, do they? No, because if you see one, you'll know 57 rand bill. There are no bills like that. All right. What they do, they teach you all the attributes and what that note looks like, the real thing. A 10 rand note and a 20 and a 50 and a 100 and a 200 and so forth. And they make sure you understand what those look like. So that when the counterfeit comes across the counter, you immediately recognize it. Because there's so many different kinds. I've seen them. Not all of them. But you cannot study all the ways that they will counterfeit them. Study the real thing and you will know the counterfeit. Study Christ. Become intimate with Him and you will recognize that which is of the devil and which is of the flesh. That which is of the world, which is carnal. Amen? For us to successfully stand against the kingdom of darkness, because there is a standing against that kingdom. But it's a stand you take. It's an attitude that we have. My attitude is the kingdom of light. So where I go, I move in there and if there's darkness there, I just push it out the way. My wife shared today that at her office, somebody came to her office and walked in her office and said, "You know, when I come into your office, it's just so peaceful here." Did she preach to the person? No. It's just who she represents and who is within her. There's light within her. Remember we shared before, light displaces darkness. Darkness does not displace light. And it is who you are which causes you to walk in victory as far as so-called spiritual warfare is concerned. Okay? For us to successfully stand against the kingdom of darkness, we must realize once and for all and renew our minds to the fact that we have been given the victory by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That is what you think. Somebody comes to you and says, "Well, the devil did this," and just cut them off. And say, "I don't want to hear what the devil did." Who wants to hear what the devil did? Especially with you guys. Some of you have learned. Don't come and tell me. Don't come and tell me the devil did this because I cut you off. Because you should know better. Maybe I'll listen to somebody, you know, that hasn't been with us. We must renew our minds to that fact. That is what you must think. That's the attitude of your mind. That is how we are. We are in the kingdom of light. We're not in the kingdom of darkness. Why should it even feature? Darkness is nothing anyway. Light always overpowers darkness, drives it out. And we've got to renew our minds to the fact that He is the greater one that dwells within us. Greater than what? The flesh, the world, the devil, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, whatever. He's greater than that. He's always greater than that. We must cultivate a mindset of singleness instead of duality. And this is what has plagued the church forever. What am I saying with that? We have this concept, as I said just now, of it's the devil against God and it's the devil against me and it's the church against the devil and God against the devil. It's a dualistic mindset. It's double-mindedness. Be single-minded in Christ. Does the Bible say that Christ is all and in all? No. So then, why would we worry about what Satan thinks? Be aware, yes. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Why does it say wise as a serpent? Because he's cunning. He can be cunning. But he uses our own resources against us. That's all how he gets power. His power has been stripped. All he has to do, because he knows how people work, he puts a thought in your mind and you will do the rest of the work. Because your heart is a garden. Remember we shared that before? Your heart is a garden. And he will come with a 99% truth and 1% will be slightly offline. And if you don't discern it, if you don't know the real from the counterfeit, you will run with it. And your heart will start growing that tree. And before you know it, you're in this thing. And you're doing the work. He just has to plant a thought. That's why the renewal of the mind. You've heard me hammer this ever since you've met me and known me. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. You know, Kenneth Hagin Mark 11, 23. What you will confess with your mouth will come to pass. Well, my scripture is Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. That we are not conformed to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, and that is how we discern the good and the permissible and the perfect will of God. That is how you do it. Over and over and over, you'll hear me say that. We must cultivate a mindset of singleness focused on Christ instead of a dualistic mindset, and this is what has plagued the church for centuries and centuries. That's why you have all the stuff going on in the church. Well, the one church is so devil conscious, you know, they have warfare all the time. And the people are confused and, you know, there's never real victory and stuff like that. Instead of being Christ-minded. And some churches have a kind of a mixture of that. Be single-minded. James 1 verse 8 says that we must be single-minded. Let's look at that. And I'm tonight laying a foundation. James. James 1:8. Now remember, the preceding verses talks about a man that must ask without wavering, okay? Because if he asks in a wavering frame of mind, then what? He will receive nothing. Because, and then verse 8 says, for being as he is, a man of two minds, or two hearts, unstable, unreliable, and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, or decides. The moment that you have that kind of thing in your life, where you can't make decisions and your feelings, well, I feel this, and 5 minutes later it's like that, then you're double-minded. It means that your mind is not renewed. Your faith cannot be focused like that. It's like a shotgun. It's not like a sniper's rifle that can, over 1,000 meters, still hit the bullseye on the target. The shotgun, it's got little pellets in it and just sprays in the general direction. It'll dilute your faith. Be single-minded, not double-minded. Then verse 23-25. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. For he thoughtfully observes himself, then goes off and promptly forgets what he's like. So in other words, while he's looking in the mirror of the Word of God, his mind is one way. Hear where I'm going. Double-mindedness. The moment he looks away, he forgets that, and now his mind is another way again. So he's what? Double-minded. So, verse 25 says, but he who looks carefully into the faultless law, or the law of liberty. What is liberty? It's freedom. And is faithful to it. And perseveres. You see, this is, you know, Art, this is probably something we could make a lot of money with in the church. We could bottle perseverance and sell it. It's true. Christians seem to, you know, when they get born again, and the perseverance that they used to have before, that just falls out the window. Because God's all going to do it all now. Faithful. Be faithful and persevere in looking into it. What you look at is what you will become. Being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer. So you look. You listen. And you do. How do children copy their parents? They watch you carefully. They listen to what you say. And then they start doing. And when my kids were small, sometimes I realized, oops, that was not good what they're saying and what they're doing now. But they were copycatting me exactly. My kids would put on my shoes, and little girls, would, when I walk around the house, they come and walk behind me. They step just like me. You know. And if I'm walking like Tarzan, then, I mean, there's this little two-year-old, cloth, cloth, and the shoes are coming, and I mean, walking just like me. It's true. When you have children, you will see that, those of you who haven't had children. It's just like that. It's the most awesome thing to watch. I learned more about the Bible from observing my children when they were little than any other way, because I quickly would repent if I saw my child doing something and saying something, oops, which I thought I had sorted out. You don't want your child repeating some of your habits. You will stop. The greatest blessing. Be an active doer. Obey. And you shall be, he shall be blessed in his doing. In other words, you will be blessed in your doing. In your life of obedience. So don't be double-minded. Look into the faultless law of liberty. Keep and persevere. Be single-minded. And who is your liberty? Christ. You see, this is what will happen. We will become so intimate with Him. We'll be beholding Him and beholding Him and beholding Him. And then like Enoch, what will happen? All of a sudden, we'll just not be around anymore. We'll be one with Him. So, don't be double-minded. That is probably the oldest trick in the book for the enemy. See, it's very simple. He knows how to manipulate your heart and your thinking. He comes with a smoke screen. He comes and focuses your emotions and your eyesight and what you hear. And guess what we start doing? Oh no, look what's happening. And we start speaking it out because we are created in the image of God. Your words are creative. He does not have to say anything. All he has to do is make the picture in your mind big enough that you speak it out. Then guess what? Once you've spoken it in the spirit. And if you don't stop that and repent of that, it will come to pass for you. How many times you heard people, no, my great granny had cancer. And my granny had cancer and died from it. And my mother had cancer. And they all died when they were 42 years old. And you know what? I'm 10 years away from 42. And I can already feel something happening. And you know, we know some people and they died at 42. They spoke it into existence. Yeah, well, Derek's mother was like that. Now, there you see the sins of the forefathers visiting the children of the third and the fourth generation. But how is it perpetuated? Through the mouth, the seeds that you plant. There's one seed only, and it's the seed of Christ. That's why Abraham's seed, not Abraham's seeds. Seed. There's a seed within you. He's Christ. Let him come out of your mouth. He is the word, so speak him out. Don't speak that rubbish. Speak the word of God. It's not God against the devil or the devil against God, but Christ and him alone. Jesus won the victory over the devil and his cohorts once and for all. Let's just make that decision tonight. That is how it is. Because it's a fact. It's a historical fact. If something goes wrong in your life, find out why from God. Because he will tell you where you lacked wisdom, where you didn't listen to him. We're easy to blame the devil for a whole lot of stuff. When it's a lack of wisdom on our part, it's a lack of obedience. We're not listening to God, or we don't go and check it out with God. We don't find out what the word says about it before we do things. So for our own lackadaisicalness, for our own laziness of not inquiring from the Lord, not walking in the Spirit, oh, well, it's the devil. So let's not do that. Let me tell you something. If we could hear God perfectly, would you fall into any traps that the enemy sets? Would you? Of course not. The only reason why there are mistakes and things happen is because we're not hearing clearly. And we're not living close enough to him. That's what Romans 12 verse 1 and 2 says. Be not conformed to this world system, the system of thinking, the system of living, but be transformed into what? Into the image of Christ, by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good and the permissible and the perfect will of God. Because if you know what the perfect will of God is, what's going to happen then? Will you walk in the blessing of God? Of course you walk in the blessing of God. Colossians 2:15. Colossians 2:15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he, who's he? Jesus. And having spoiled principalities and powers, Jesus made a show of them openly, the principalities and the powers and the enemy, Satan and so forth, triumphing over them in it. What is that it? If you go to verse 14, he says, having cancelled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting or the note of accusation, or the what do they call those sheets in the court? Klagstaat. What is that? It's got your criminal thing. Documents, yeah. He cancelled it out. With its legal decrees and demands, which was enforced and stood against us. This note, with its regulations, decrees, and demands, he set aside and cleared completely out of our way by nailing it to his cross. So, verse 15 says, God disarmed the principalities and powers ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross. It's the cross. It's the cross that brought that victory. That's the power of God unto salvation. Okay? He made a show of them. He made a show of the enemy. Would you like to know what that word show means? And we all know what a show is. We sometimes go to shows and people parade and sing and do all sorts of stuff. Okay? A movie is a show. But Christ made a show of the enemy. He exposed him to the senses so you can actually see with your eyes what he's done and what he's doing. He's made it quite open. He made a show of him. That's what that word means. He made an exhibition of him. Put him up there and say, that's the one that's been misleading you. And what do we do? Oh, there's a scripture in the Old Testament where it says that we will, oh, is that what he looked like? Whoa. And he made the people scared. Shame. He made an exhibition of him. That word show is to be made a specimen or to take a specimen and put him there and say to people, this is a specimen. This is how you shouldn't do things. So he made an open show of him. Basically, he made a mockery of him. Openly. And he did that through the cross. Now, I learned something from John Sanford. He says, the cross in the spirit world is like a big red stop sign. It says, stop and no further. What did it do for sin? It said, stop, yeah, no further. Has the cross worked in your life? Yes. So stop, no more sin. But when the enemy comes, what can we say? The cross stopped you. Never mind the cross, the blood as well. But the cross is a stopping place. You have a problem in your life? Go to the cross. It's the stopping place of sin. That's where it stops. It's the place of death. And that we covered a lot in the previous lessons about the heart of man. About dying to self and all those kind of things. It's the cross that has that power to kill you. Because when that death has taken place in you, there is no way that the enemy can have a hold on you. There is that place in Christ, I'm telling you. And I believe we are entering into that time now where the church is going to walk that victorious. Because we are coming to the realization as sons of God that we are in the third day, which means we are walking in the Holy of Holies. We are a walking Holy of Holies. And if you go and look in the Old Testament, which is a type and a shadow of the new one, there is no devil in the Holy of Holies. It was only the Shekinah glory of God in the Holy of Holies. And what are you? You are the Ark of the Covenant. You are that inner court. And He lives within you in His fullness. So there is no place for that. The cross is the stopping place. That's the point of our departure. That's why we have victory. That's why we don't have to fear these things. That's why we shouldn't, Satan shouldn't be able to deceive us. Because that's where our focus is. See, too many times people study about it, you know, they'll do a 3-year degree in Satanism and stuff like that. Why? I mean, what right person in his mind will go to university and study 6 years on how to become bankrupt? No, they go to business school and they go and learn about business, how to become millionaires, how to run a business successfully. They don't go and learn how to become bankrupt. Satan is spiritually bankrupt, so why would you want to learn? What I'm going to share with you are the basics of how that kingdom works, and you will be able to discern things. Simply. All this demonology that the church has taught, I'll make it simple for you. You'll discern anything just like that, and you'll see it what it is. You'll see where the hold is in the person's heart. Because if you can deal with the heart, that thing, let's go. Because it's a heart issue. If I give permission to sin in my heart, then the enemy has a hold. That's how he gets his permission. What does James 4:7 say? Submit to God, or humble yourself before the Lord. Resist the devil. And what will happen? He will flee from you. Submit to God. That's the key. Let your focus be Christ. We just resist Him. We walk into a place, we walk into an area, we minister into an area. What do? With the light of God, we just edge Him. You know. Remember how the bullies used to bully you at school? They used to come and bump you, no, like that. Maybe not all of you had bullies. Maybe, you know, it was the other way around. No. Maybe you've repented. No. But you know what I'm saying? We resist Him. But do we have to now physically go and fight Him? No. Because our weapons are not carnal. We just resist Him by who we are. And if we have to, we speak a word with the word of the Lord. Submit to God, or humble yourself unto God. Why must we do that? Okay, let's look at some verses. Colossians chapter 3 verse 12. You see, humility is key here. Submission unto God. And this is the foundation I'm laying. See, I'm pulling your attention to Christ all the time. Colossians 3:12. He says, clothe yourselves therefore, as God's own picked or hand-picked representatives, you're hand-picked, His own chosen ones, who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God Himself. You see what He says about you? Holy, well-beloved. By putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourselves, gentle ways and patience, which is tireless, long-suffering, and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Basically what it is saying there, put on humility. There's so many places He says, put on humility. Another place He says, put on the armor of God. Another place He says, put on the armor of light. Another place He says, put on Christ. So it's all the same. It's just different facets of who Christ is. Okay? So put on humility. Put on a garment or a cloak of humility. 1 Peter chapter 5. Likewise, you that are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, or the ministers and spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Now listen again. Here He says, clothe or apron yourself. That's another meaning for that. Put an apron on. All of you of humility, or with humility, as the garb or the clothing of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you. Put it on in such a way that it cannot come off of you. With freedom from pride and arrogance towards one another. For God sets Himself against the proud. Remember? James 4:7. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So what is that now saying? God sets Himself against the proud. So don't submit to God, be proud. Try and resist the devil, and he will not flee from you. Again, we go back to our previous teachings, the attitude of the heart. You see, this warfare that we talk about. You just walk in Christ, man. Be in Him. God sets Himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful, and opposes and frustrates and defeats them. I mean, you think you're going to resist the devil, and then God starts resisting you. And then you say, I bind you, Satan. Get thee behind me. And nothing happens, because it's actually God. He gives grace, favor, and blessing to the humble. I remember somebody asked years ago, they said, why is it that some people seem to walk in so much grace? So I thought, gee, I also, that's interesting. And then I made it the subject of prayer, and I studied the Word of God, and God said it's very simple. Humble yourself, and I'll give the grace. So the more humble you are, the more grace. Proverbs 3:34. Though he scoffs at the scoffers and scorns the scorners, yet he gives his undeserved favor or grace to the humble. See, that's how you get God's grace to flow in your life. Just humble yourself. Just submit yourself to him. Philippians 2 verse 8. Let's read from verse 7. He's talking about Jesus here. But stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant, in that he became like men and was born a human being. Verse 8, and after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further, and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even to the death of the cross. And so what did he do? Through his humility, he once and for all dealt with Satan and sin and everything. You want to get victory? You want the devil not to have anything to do with you, that you should become so slippery of the anointing. I mean, you know, the anointing is like oil. Why do you think it's like that? Why do you think yoke can't sit on your neck if you're full of the Holy Ghost? Because it slips off. He can't get a hold of you. Because you're dead. It's just Christ. So that's how the thing comes. Through that death. Through that humility. That is how you resist successfully. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's the key. If anything has to be said at any point to the devil, then say it and it'll come easy, that victory. Because I've seen in churches, and I pray for people with devils and stuff, man, these people don't have voices after they've screamed for 3 days at these things. And those things are there by permission because their hearts are not dealt with. There's issues in their hearts. Those things are there by permission. And it's the same in your city. The strongholds in the area are there by permission of the hearts of the people. They're things they think about and they meditate about. So what we want to do is we want the light to increase. The light must increase in my life and then influence his life. And then there's two of us. And then there's three lights and four lights. And then one puts 1,000 to flight. Two puts 10,000 to flight. Three puts 1,000,000 to flight. The light increases. If the light increases, the darkness cannot comprehend it. And then what happens? The darkness starts leaving of its own accord. Every now and then there might be a little bit of a skirmish where we, hey, get out of that place. Hey, go. But the rest of the time, we just increase the light. That's in a restful way. A position of rest. 1 John 3 verse 8. He that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. Second part of that verse. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That he maybe destroy the works of the devil? Or might destroy? The Son of God was manifested. So where is he manifested now? In you and I. So that you might do what? Destroy the works of the devil. In people's lives. Pull down strongholds, whatever it is. But in the Spirit of Christ, through the Word of God. It is imperative that if our stand against the kingdom of darkness is to be successful, we must understand our enemy and how he operates. Our greatest enemy is our flesh. Right? If you understand how your flesh works, you understand a lot about what goes on out there. If the enemy can get a hold in your flesh, if it's like a fish, you catch a fish, once you've hooked a fish, then you just play with the fish. You make him tired, and eventually the fish just gives up. Unless you've got the line is not strong enough. You know, you're catching a shark with a little 10 kilogram line, you know, then you have a problem. A lack of knowledge will certainly lead to our defeat, or even worse yet, we may even fall prey to his devilish schemes and deceptions, receiving serious spiritual injury, causing us to make shipwreck of our faith. We've seen people that have been involved in so-called deliverance ministries. Now, I don't see anything like that in the Bible, by the way. Deliverance ministry. I've discussed it with men of God. There's no such thing as a deliverance ministry. There's people that just major on that. That's what they do. They go from town to town and they have deliverance sessions and they come and clean your house and stuff. Well, if they come to my house, they'll have a big problem because I have stuff here that they will have a big problem with. Oh, that is from the devil. Well, in your mind, maybe. But these very same people, they're going by certain stores, like Clicks, for instance. And I mean, nothing wrong with Clicks. We buy Clicks. But their logo is a unicorn, which is the most evil creature of the underworld. But they'll go and buy there, and they'll think nothing of it. And somewhere along the line, Clicks and all these, they part of, you know, a whole conglomerate of businesses and at the top of it, people. It's the Illuminati. And you know what they don't understand? They get paid by their company. Who at the end of the day, through the whole chain of command, belongs to the Illuminati or the New World Order. And then they'll take that money and they'll put it in a New World Order bank. But they'll come to my house and they will want to drive the devil out of here. So believe. That stuff has only got power if you believe it has. What you fear greatly will come upon you. So I faith greatly in Christ. Because either He is King Jesus, and He is the Lord of Lords, and He is the King of Kings, and we are Lords, and we are Kings, and He is the ruler over us. Either it is like that, or it isn't. You're supposed to lord it over this creation. You're called as a king and a priest in Christ. And He is the King of the Kings. So what are you? The Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. So what are you? You're a Lord. Ladies. So don't get into all that stuff. I mean, they've been preaching that stuff. I mean, Paul says and Jesus says, there are now many antichrists. And that's 2,000 years ago. There are now many antichrists. Then, how many must there be now? Millions. If you focus on the Antichrist, well then, be my guest. Go for it. I focus on the Christ. He is the light of the world. Because He's the light of the world, I'm the light of the world. So when I walk in, they leave. It's got to be like that. Amen. All right. Yet we need to understand how the system works out there in the world, this world system. That's why Romans 12 says, be not conformed to this world. That word world is the system of the world, which was instituted by Satan. That system, if you don't discern what it's about, it will deceive you. And because of that, many people have made shipwreck of their faith. Because they got sucked into that thing. They didn't understand. They didn't realize. They didn't discern it. 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. Paul says to Tim, and I'm focusing on how we're supposed to do our warfare. Paul says to Tim, This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies or the word which went before you. How many times have you received prophecies and words from the Lord when you spent time with Him? He gave you a word and you've received prophecies. He says, take that so that by them you can wage a good warfare. Now remember, we previously discussed in 1 Peter 2:11, there's a warfare that comes against your soul. And it's the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's what's warring against your soul. So if the enemy can get into your flesh, that's what's warring against your mind. But you take the word of God, you take those prophecies, and you wage warfare with them. And all you do is you just declare what God has told you to do and what He has spoken to you. That's all you have to do. Verse 19. Holding faith. See? Holding faith. See what we don't do. We don't hold faith. We have to, with faith, you have to take a stand. You have to stand with that faith. Ephesians 6 verse 11 and 13 to 14, he says, take a stand, put on the armor of God and stand. And having done all to stand. You just stand. Just take a stand in Christ. Quench the fiery darts. What are those fiery darts? They are thoughts. They are words that come. How do you counter them? With the word of God. And this is what this is saying. Holding faith and a good conscience or a clear conscience. Make sure that you keep short account with God as far as sin or anything is concerned. Which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. So don't put away those words that God's given you. Hold it before you. I don't care what you feel like. I've had that. Where I've walked for years and years and it felt like I had a brick on the inside of my stomach here. I couldn't sense God's presence. All I had was a word from God and I held on to it. There was one word I held on to for something like 15 years. I would read my prophecy just about every day. I would read it and read it and read it. And it said, you are going to go through something now. And it took something like 15 years before that whole thing turned. And I'm not saying that's going to happen to you. I have paved the way. I'm the pioneer, so you can come behind me. I'm there to teach you wisdom by the Spirit of God, so you don't have to go through that. But I held on to the Word of God. I waged a good warfare. Did the thoughts come? Yes. Did the things come? The troubles and stuff? Yes. Did they come? My choice was to give glory to God and not glory to Satan. Because some of those things, I can't tell you. They were a direct result of what he said. Many years ago, probably 20 or 25 years ago, I walked into my bedroom when I lived in Pretoria. And by the closet where the cupboards are, there was a little window open and it looked outside, and there's a little alcove where the washing line was. And when I came from somewhere late at night, and I came in there and I wanted to undress, and as I walked towards the window, there was this demon that looked like a chimpanzee, and was about this big, like about an 8-year-old child, big fat thing. He was sitting like a Buddha. He was balancing on the wall, and he was looking at me. And as he saw me looking at him, he started laughing at me. He laughed so much, he fell over backwards off the wall. And I understood that I had better stand now. And I had to stand. The next few years after that, you see, I was pushing a nerve. If the devil starts appearing to you, then you must understand. You need to stand. And I stood. I took the word of God that was spoken of my life. And some of that word said, you have overcome Satan and his cohorts. And it didn't look like it then. So, was I still a son of God? Yes. Was I anointed? Yes. But I had to realize what was on the inside of me. Because what showed up were the doubts and the fears and the things in the face of that situation, knowing that he seemed to be on my case. And if I had yielded to this stuff, I could have made shipwreck of my faith. And I must be honest with you, I came pretty close, eh? And some of you, maybe most of you, can identify with that. You think, no, this, I can't do this anymore. I cannot, it's not going to happen for me anymore. You come to the end of yourself. But you know what? It says there that we need to hold on to faith. And you know what that shipwreck means? It means to navigate incorrectly. All he has to do is just get your navigation. Just get your eye off Christ. Just get your eye off the captain of your salvation. Why do you think he's called the captain of our salvation? Because he steers the boat. To make shipwreck of your faith is to navigate incorrectly. And then you crash into the rocks. It means to be led to a different destination than the one intended to by somebody. To actually be led. That's what that word shipwreck means. At the root of that thing, and I studied it out, it means to be forced and influenced in the mind. To be forced in the mind. Somebody try and take control of your mind. You've had it. I've had it. These thoughts just seem to bombard your mind. Do Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Meditate the word of God. Scream it out. Speak it out. Do whatever you have to do. Because at the end of the day, it's about your heart, the garden of God. What's going to be planted there? Revelation 9, verse 19, verse 10. Revelation 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see that you do not do it. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Remember, that was angel. He says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when you take the word of God that's been spoken over you, you take your prophecies, you take the word of God, you are giving testimony of Jesus in the face of this thing all the time. Why do you think Christian marriages are attacked? Because it's a testimony that that Jesus is coming back for his bride, that Jesus loves his bride. So when a husband and a wife stay together and stick together and work it out and honor the covenant of God, it is saying to the devil, sorry if I spat on you. But that's what it's doing. So don't give up on that. Don't give up on it. Because you're making a statement. It's the testimony of Jesus. Take the word of God. That is how we do this thing. Remember I said previously that Christianity is the great confession. I said you start off your Christian walk by confessing Jesus as Lord. And thereafter you start confessing your salvation. You confess your healing. You confess your prosperity. You declare those things. Because you're a son of God. Jesus is the Word. He's within you. So speak Him out. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So if you've received a genuine word from God, that is the Spirit of God. That is Jesus being manifested. You just have to hold on to it. That is the substance that will cause you to walk on the water, spiritually speaking. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, which represents also the cross, remember? And by the word of their testimony. What testimony? The testimony of Christ. And then it says, and they loved not their lives unto death. Okay, that could mean in the natural, but also that we die to ourselves. Acts chapter 19. From verse 11. We're talking about speaking forth the word of God, taking that word, becoming one with that word. Acts 19:11, and God did unusual and extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or towels or aprons which had touched his skin were carried away and put upon the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirits came out of them. See, just by the anointing. See, what is it saying to you? They took cloths off Paul and they walked 100 kilometers away and they put that cloth on there. Was Paul there to say, come out in Jesus' name? No. The light, the presence of God just drove it out. And that's what I'm talking about. That's much better warfare. Then some of the traveling Jewish exorcists, men who adjure evil spirits, also undertook to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. Look at the difference here. They said, I solemnly implore. You see, that's the first mistake they made. And charge you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. I mean, seven sons of a certain Jewish chief priest named Sceva were doing this. But one evil spirit retorted, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. Who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit dwelt leapt upon them, mastering two of them, and was so violent against them that they dashed out of the house in fear, stripped, naked, and wounded. This became known to all who lived in Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and alarm and terror fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled and magnified, because you can only do it in His power. Many also of those who were now believers came making full confession and thoroughly exposing their former deceptive and evil practices. You see, deception. And many of those who had practiced curious magical arts collected their books, throwing them book after book on the pile, burned them in the sight of everybody. When they counted the value of them, they found it amounted to 50,000 pieces of silver. And that's a lot of money now today. Thus the word of the Lord concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God grew and spread and intensified, prevailing mightily. Come on, it's time for us to prevail mightily. Hosea 4 verse 6, and I close with that. You see, we've done warfare the wrong way around in the church. We chased the devil. Jesus never chased devils. Neither did Paul. He didn't chase them. They would just go about their daily job, and then somebody would go, shut up, come out. Must be like that. Or if you just walk in the scene, they just leave anyway. Just drop, boom. Okay, wake up. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. That you will be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God, and I will also forget your children. But it's the knowledge. But now that word knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of perception. It's how you perceive things. We perceive it incorrectly, not the way God sees it. So He comes in and He twiddles with your mind. My people are destroyed for lack of skill. Skillfully walking in the Spirit. My people are destroyed for lack of discernment. You can go and look up in the Strong's and a couple of other. That's what that word means. It's not just knowledge. My people are distracted for lack of recognition. See, when I was in the military, we had to study what enemy tanks looked like. They would show us the profiles and so on of enemy tanks, things that we would bomb on the ground, and enemy aircraft. They would show us the profile, different angles and so on. And then when we see that, we must say, okay, that's a Russian MiG, that's a such and such a tank, so that we don't kill our own people. So it's called recognition training. And that's what I said. Recognize Christ, and straight away you'll be able to recognize the enemy. Because that which is not of Christ is what? It's of the flesh, it's of the world, it's of the devil. My people are destroyed for a lack of intimacy. That's what that word knowledge also means. Intimacy with Christ. Because if you know Him, all those other things follow automatically. And you will walk in victory in this thing. You know, some people are just concerned about what the devil's doing all the time. No, man, let's just be free in Christ. Just enjoy Him. And all these things will take care of themselves. Amen? Father, we worship You and thank You for Your word. Father, we thank You that the blood of Jesus has paid the price. We thank You, Lord, that we are victorious. Jesus, You have spoiled principalities and powers, and You have made a show of the enemy openly. You have triumphed over him. And we are in you. And so we walk in victory. And we thank you, Lord. As we walk in the Spirit, as we walk intimately with you, we can perceive what you perceive. We walk with your skill because we have the mind of Christ. We walk with discernment because we have the Holy Spirit as our teacher and our guide. We walk with recognition. We thank you, Lord, that our eyes are open. Thank you that our conscience is sensitive to hear your voice. We thank you, Lord, that as we continue to meditate your word and walk with you, our spirit man is trained. Our spirit man becomes sensitive to you. We thank you, Lord, that as we spend time with you, as we walk in your word and your ways, Christ is formed in us. And he is the victorious one. He is the greater one within us. Thank you, Lord, that you write these words that we heard tonight. You write it on the tablets of our hearts. Not only do you write it on our hearts, but it becomes life to us. And we actually walk and do this in Jesus' name. Amen.